Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined, as always, in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, both of them, Ronald J. Martin, Barnabas Piper. Pipe, the fans have spoken. They wanted you back. They've been clamoring for you.
Big.
They're tired of the brand of radio that Ronald and I bring to the table. So you are back. We are happy to have you. You have survived a tornado and the coronavirus. And you're back in studio.
Well, time will tell on the coronavirus by the time this thing comes out.
Well, yeah, so far, you know, so
could be, yeah, in a box. We'll see.
You know what? The coronavirus is not going to stop, Piper, and it's not even going to slow this down. It's Midtown Live in Louisville.
Correct.
Also known as the biggest radio event of the year. Also known as Piper's first Christmas. Not first Christmas, Piper's first Easter. Wrong holiday. So bring your Easter.
I mean, if they want to bring me Christmas presents, I'm down with
that.
Dude,
we should do a Christmas theme live app sometime in April. That would be amazing.
Shepherd pouches for everybody.
Shepherd's pouches all around.
Well, you know what we need to do? So.
We need to get a shepherd's pouch sponsor. Seriously. Someone who makes little canvas, like, burlap bags.
What if Saddleback made us some, like, hipster leather shepherd pouches?
Oh, dude. Saddleback shepherd's pouches. They retail for, like, $350. yeah, we're all going to go broke.
Overly engineered.
Overly engineered, lifetime warranted shepherd's
pouches. We're not going to go broke because we get those things for freebie, you know, so.
That's right, baby. It's going to be raining pouches.
Oh, it's raining on Saddleback leather pouches. On the program.
But alas, boys, we're getting ahead of ourselves because we are here to promote Midtown Live coming up in not too long in Louisville. So, Piper, give us the skinny on this event. Talk us through the ticket buying process, okay? Because that's the main thing. And talk us through our new sponsor.
Yeah, I mean,
we got a new event sponsor for Midtown Live.
We do, yes. So, ticket buying is very easy for them. It just costs you a little bit of money and like three clicks of your device, of whatever device you're going. If you just go to happyrantpodcast.com, you'll see all the details right in the middle. The event is April 13th. It's a Monday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern time, because it'll be in Louisville, Kentucky, at Sojourn Midtown, which from my understanding is a cathedral-esque building,
which really
suits our sensibilities.
I love it.
It'll bring out the best in Ronnie because he's very aesthetically motivated.
Yep.
And so I anticipate that being just him being on fire that night.
Dude, now how is it that like some Anglicans didn't beat you guys to that building? Because I feel like there would have been a strong kind of like Anglican push for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, or like a Harvest Bible Chapel buying it out from under you and then you know, ruining it.
Dude, the Sojourn hipster community in Louisville must have some juice.
They do.
You know,
they got some influence, right? They do.
Yeah, big time. I can't wait to see these people in this church. I feel like there's going to be some woodworking, like stations, some axe throwing. It's going to be amazing.
Do we have to get like extra insurance for axe throwing, or do we just get?
We do. We have to get a little rider.
Just get people to sign like a post-it note that says, "I won't sue if my finger gets cut off" or something.
Yeah, I don't know. We got to work all that out. But that's part of the entertainment business, boys. Is just us thinking about that and making it easy for the user. Piper, how can we get tickets for this thing?
Yeah, so it is, if you go to happyrantpodcast.com, there's a big sort of orangish button right in the middle of the page. You'll see, like, live event. It's got the details. It'll say what we're doing. It's the day after Easter, so, you know, for those of you who are heavily invested in your church, this is a great chance to kind of come relax after your all of your Good Fridays and Easters and cantatas, and I don't know what all else people do for Easter, but big church things. Drive over to Louisville, come to this thing. Tickets cost $15, so they're not expensive. That basically covers our cost to get there. And then we just secured a sponsor for this thing. That is the Gospel Project, the great kids, students, and adults Bible study and Sunday school and small group curriculum that Lifeway puts out that is just looks at the theme of kind of a biblical theology, the theme of redemption through all of Scripture. So there's going to be giveaways of that. There's going to be, we'll have our books, and Ronnie, I'm sure, will have some of his musical swag there as well. So it's going to be a grand time on April 13th at 7 p.m. And you can go to happyrantpodcast.com and buy tickets for not very expensive, and you should do that.
And we can promise that it will be coronavirus free. If we have to wear hazmat suits on stage, we're still doing it.
Yeah, that's true. We can do. We promise we'll be there in spite of coronavirus.
Here's my question, man. What if
Yeah.
I've heard some rumors that maybe T4G is going to be canceled. Ooh, so what happens? Maybe. What happens if the lesser of the two events gets canceled? And by lesser, I mean T4G.
I think we still do it. I'll play to a room of three people. I don't care.
I'm
going to play it like it's Wembley Stadium.
Absolute.
We're not some mega church that's afraid of this mess and doing video venue services because we're afraid of coronavirus. We're going in on this thing.
Maybe now. How is? I want to know.
I will be there regardless.
I want to know how coronavirus has impacted the C&D list reform breakout session schedule that you keep. Like, have any of your gigs been canceled?
Yeah, no, I've had no cancellations. In fact, like even at our own church, boys, wait for it. We still had communion yesterday. We still did communion.
So those like 12-person classrooms where you're doing the breakouts,
we'll miss you.
They just wipe those down with like Clorox and you're good to go.
Clorox or just like a wet towel rack.
Just a wet wipe. Yeah,
Well, I was under the impression that alcohol kills coronavirus, so as long as you're using real wine,
That's true. Yeah, we're a little controversial in that we're not doing the real wine thing. We're still grape juicing it, you know.
You're not that hipster.
We're not. I mean,
hipster spectrum says you got to do.
We're a little controversial in that we don't do real. We don't give the option, right? We either do real wine, grape juice, like grape soda. You know what I mean, like whatever one want.
We got this Anglican church in our town, and I love how like self-satisfied they feel. They work into every conversation how they use real wine.
Dude, they love. Well, yeah, because they love.
Them. Oh, they love it.
So here's like here's the real wine goblet. Here's the grape juice goblet. Here's the Fanta grape soda goblet.
Right.
You know, here's the
absolutely
whatever. Yeah.
Well, just ask them if they use Franzia or Boda Box. Like, which version of crappy boxed wine do they use?
Exactly.
And that should shut them up on their smugness. Because, like, congratulations, you got the dregs of the wine barrel.
The dregs of the wine industry every Sunday morning. No, I love it.
Yeah, if you're going to do it, you should use some nice wine, right? That would be our gig, right?
Baby, can we at least go to Trader Joe's and pick up some $2 chuck or whatever?
Can we lean into this coronavirus and breakout session thing for a minute? I want you to, like, think through your speaking career over the last decade. Because I have thoughts on this for myself, and Piper can probably chime in on this too. What's the saddest like type of room where you've ever done a breakout session? You know what I'm saying? Like you get into the room and you're just like, oh.
Yeah, I got some.
What are we looking at?
I got some ammunition for that one.
Yeah, lay it on us. I'm just curious.
So the most depressing one I ever did was, it was like a kid's, know what I'm talking about.
It was literally
a nursery room for like kids ages 0 to 2. And I literally, I think I had to do 2 breakout sessions and the second one I did had a dad and his like 10-year-old daughter. In it.
Spectacular.
And that was it.
Spectacular.
And I still had to do it. It was like a 45-minute breakout, and I had to do the whole thing.
And the 10-year-old daughter's like distracted by the Barbies. And were the chairs really tiny?
Yeah, and it was like the tiny little like – yeah. It was like the tiny desks.
And the thing is, every single one of those rooms smells vaguely of like rancid apple juice and
Cheerios.
And yesterday's diapers.
Yesterday's diapers and like Honey Nut Cheerios, right?
So, fantastic.
So it was just like, and I'm sitting in there. So this is like, Pipe, you'll get this, right? It gets a little awkward because it's like, well, let's give it some time for people to come in, right? Because it was post lunch, so everybody's a little late. And so it's like 10 minutes after I'm supposed to start. And it's like, no, that's who's coming. That's who's showing up. So I just dove into it, and there it was. So that one,
maybe the glitz and glamour of the road, you know.
Oh, it was
It's what Bob Seger sang about all those years ago. You know?
Absolutely,
it's not all.
Well, those are the moments where you're like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done speaking. I'm not doing this.
I'm done
again.
Speaking
and
until
you,
next
and you
week.
Take the next booking.
Yeah. I'm done until 3 days.
Did you get?
Exactly.
Was this a paid speaking thing, or was this like they gave you we'll cover your travel, and then they gave you like a gift basket of, you know, chocolate covered almonds or something?
No, I mean,
like
it was legit. It was a worship conference thing, and it was like, it was like legit. Here's the thing. Like, the actual conference was like, it was good. It was a good turnout. For some reason, this breakout was just something nobody was interested in, you know, topic wise. So Yeah. Interesting. So not that I was insulted by
that. Was it a situation where it was like a 500 person conference and they did like 27 breakouts? So the math just doesn't work out in the speaker's
Pipe, you know what, man? It probably was exactly that. Yeah. That's about what it was.
Yeah, those are great. Deals.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not
it's,
awesome.
It's not super fun. Yeah, it wasn't super fun. But, you know, there it is.
So, baby, I played a mega church youth group room one time where there were like 75 Xboxes and screens and there was an abandoned airplane like hanging from the ceiling.
Of course, there's always an abandoned airplane.
Yeah, they had like the carcass of a Cessna like hanging.
Yeah,
or
something from World War II. Like where they get these things is baffling.
It is baffling, and it's like, yeah, like I want to play my Xbox underneath the abandoned husk of an old like mid-century airplane.
Yeah, baby, those used to be the gigs I would play, like those youth event rally things. Like, yeah, always under like the always under the Cessna hanging from the air, just praying that that thing doesn't like praying that that thing holds and doesn't drop
praying
on
that
your
that
head.
Thing, yeah, the hooks don't break, and you know.
So how was
you
it?
See
for
the
you?
Underside of a lot of Cessnas.
Yeah, exactly. Day, right. We can describe them at will.
Oh, but, absolutely. Yeah, a pipe most depressing venue you've ever played is a breakout session speaker.
Oh, the most depressing venues are by far any hotel conference room or like meeting center. So, because all you know that they all smell the same, they all look the same, and the two that I recall both had like the turnouts were pretty good. One of them was a retreat for ministry people, and I was talking pastors' kids stuff, and they were super engaged, great hosts, but it was at a. I think it was at a Hampton Inn and Suites in Tupelo, Mississippi.
Dude, that just sounds like it sounds like you're getting ready to tell a joke.
And so you get like the little prefab stage that's 18 inches high, and it's kind of like rickety elementary school bleacher material. And then the podium that has like the black draping in front of it, uh-huh. but then it has like the Hampton Inn little logo on the front, so it kind of looks like you're giving a press conference or a political speech.
Yeah.
And then they're all sitting around round tables, and the hosts had done their best to kind of give the room some decor so that it didn't feel exactly like a hotel conference room.
Yeah.
But the weirdest one was I got invited to do a Christian school fundraiser in, was it Iowa City or Ames? Okay. It was somewhere in Iowa in like a February, mm-hmm. like 4 years ago.
Always a great state to go to in winter.
Oh, absolutely. And, like a dream.
And again, the principal of the school hosted. He was great. But it was, first of all, I'm not a Christian school person. Like, I'm not an education guy.
Yeah.
So I even asked him, I was like, what do you want me to talk about? Because I don't really know how you want me to do this. And then they're like, it's fairly formal. So I had to wear like a nice blazer and tie and whatever.
You had to put on your favorite D.A. Carson outfit.
Dude, private Christian schools love the blazer. Like they're pro blazer all day long.
And the thing is like a suit was only for like the bankers in the room who are going to cut the big checks. Yep. So the blazers are for the rest of us. So and I went brown blazer or maybe I went gray blazer, mm-hmm. but it was sort of like it was the not quite like the true traditional navy.
Yeah.
But again, it was just a big hotel ballroom and you stand up on this stage and the lighting is weird and the sound is very echoey and something about hotel meeting rooms, it just sucks any ounce of like engagement, creativity, everything. Like college classrooms are better than that. I've spoken in a bunch of those, and you get in there and you kind of feel like, okay, we're going to interact about stuff, whatever that is.
Totally.
College lecture halls are like that.
Yeah. College lecture halls are good rooms, man, to be honest.
Yeah, like they're designed for somebody to speak to a group of people who are positioned to listen.
Yeah.
Hotel ballrooms are like, I don't know. It's a cardboard box that we insulated a little bit.
I think the whole like ethos behind the hotel conference room is to really make you like your room, like your hotel room. Like, because you just have this insatiable desire to like flee the meeting room and get back up to your room as quickly as possible.
Insatiable desire to give up on all of life.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the signage on them is always the same. You know, it's like the foam core sign on the easel outside that's like 7 p.m. Barnabas Piper speaking on whatever. And yeah, you walk up and you're like, oh, I'm speaking and
well,
I don't even want to be
like,
here.
Exactly.
I just want to go back to my room.
Like, it's that ballroom setting. there's something about it that feels, it's almost like, how do you describe it? Like, it feels like a version of some, like, it just feels fake.
It feels like it would be on The Office.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it would be like a bit.
I'm sorry. Yes. Like, yeah. It feels like, not a prep. It feels like sort of like a set, like from some, yeah. like it just, yeah. there's something about it where it feels like I.
But like a high school, drama set.
That's what I mean. Like this is where people end up yes. who don't want to end up in these places kind of a thing. And so you feel like yeah. it's almost like this life flashing before, like it feels like it's the setup to a joke. Like this is where I ended up speaking. You know,
the joke that we've been like making for the last 12
yeah,
minutes.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right. You walk in there and you immediately feel like a failed
you
life
do.
Coach.
Yeah, for
oh,
sure.
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you need a flip like, chart and like an over the ear mic.
I read a Tony Robbins book and now I'm trying to be him
at
this
a Hampton
Hotel
Inn.
Yes. ballroom
yeah,
venue.
Exactly. Where did my life go wrong? Where did I go off the rails?
Which is basically we're just describing all of our lives right now. So, yeah, that was a great lead in pipe. Thank you for that.
Absolutely. You know? Dude, I did it.
But see, here's the thing. Like, I've spoken at, like, really crappy camps before.
Yeah.
And those never strike me as crappy because I'm like, oh, that's what this is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like, the chapel's supposed to smell mildewy totally. And be drafty, and there's a bunch of high school kids who are kind of half paying attention.
Yeah.
And but, like, the five who are paying attention are 120% paying attention.
Totally.
Like, those kinds of things are money. Yeah,
that's
I love
funny
that.
Because that is my absolute most, like, depressor right there.
Dude, no way.
Yeah,
see,
that
I love
camp thing just absolutely slays me, man.
Maybe it's because Ted and I are Midwest kids who
grew up
going
to
camps
too.
Like
no,
that.
I did,
and so
I did the Christian camp circuit. I mean, I grew up doing it.
It's the California Christian camp circuit?
I don't know. It's not that it's bad. It just – it brings up old vibes to me, which is just like, oh, it came to this. This is what it's come to. I don't know, man. It just has that vibe to me. I mean, I'll do them and they're usually enjoyable, but like my initial feel when you walk into that environment where it all smells like Sloppy Joe's perpetually for life, like there's just something about the smell of it and the whole thing where I just go, oh man, like give me a minute.
Dude, listen to this, man. Listen to this. This will make you guys feel better about your lives. So I did a gig 2 weeks ago and I'm not going to get into the particulars of this, but it was on our campus. And
oh, boy.
I found out like 5 to 10 minutes before going on stage that my gig was like punishment, like that the audience had to be there. And it was this like punishment thing for like male Greek life. Like, oh yeah, by the way, they all have to be here. And the energy in the room was just like all these bros slumped like as far down in a chair as you can get without like falling out of it, you know? Oh, it was terrible.
I feel like you're the type to get up there and be like, you know who this is really punishment
me.
For?
Me. Exactly. Exactly. I basically did say that. But, that was a first for my life, man, being used as punishment. So
wait, what was it punishment for?
I shouldn't get into it. I shouldn't get into it. I wish I could.
Just poorly behaved college
yes.
students?
Yeah, that, in general.
That's hilarious, yeah, sure. that they like set you up for that gig.
Yeah, well, it was a panel, so I was up there with a few other people who, to be honest, are greater people than me. You know what I mean? Like, it was they were too good of person to be used in this way. So I felt bad for my fellow panelists, worse than I felt for myself. But yeah, it was definitely a new level.
Oh, that's
for
rough.
Sure. Yeah. Well, let's talk about some things that aren't rough. Let's talk about some new and old sponsors that we have. So Piper, we got two promos to do. We have Dwell Bible and we have a new book. It's been a while since we've done a book, so maybe we should do that one first.
Yeah, let's knock this one out first because they're a new sponsor for us. It's a new book from InterVarsity Press by I think we've actually promoted a book by this author before, and he's like a friend of a friend of the podcast.
Okay.
So it's a new book from Jonathan Dodson called Our Good Crisis,
okay.
Overcoming Moral Chaos with the Beatitudes. So Jonathan Dodson, he's a pastor in Texas, and he started Gospel-Centered Discipleship, who we've had some different stuff of theirs come through the podcast, some great guys there, I think. And then I've done their, they do a little writing cohort kind of thing that I've done a session for periodically. So great bunch of people, but that's not a bad speaking venue because I get to do it from my own home via video, which
nice.
Is nice. But the book, Our Good Crisis. So basically Dodson looks at all of the sort of moral and political and environmental morass of confusion that is today. And then takes the Beatitudes and filters all of that mess through it as sort of this is Christ's set of standards for how we should think about responding to moral ambiguity, responding to political crisis and angst and power and all of that. And so which I love books like this because it sort of cuts to the chase, and instead of taking a side or pushing us to think a certain way or do's and don'ts kinds of things, it just says, well, these are biblical principles that you can always apply when people are freaking out about something.
Yeah.
So I would encourage anybody to get this. Dodson's a great writer. He writes like a pastor in terms of the sermonic tone of it. Yeah. So it's very accessible, very clear. He's not trying to impress anybody with his academic credentials. And let's look at the endorsements for this.
While you're looking up the endorsements, Pipe, I got a hot take on Dodson. I'm looking at his picture here. You know, I like to look
fire away.
You know, I like to look at the picture. He looks a little bit like the guy who played the Joker. He looks like Joaquin a little tiny bit. Are you with me on that?
He does. He's like a happy, non-neurotic Joaquin.
Yeah, he's like a non-miserable Joaquin. So,
which is to say, doesn't really look for him other than like the jawline and the nose.
Good job. You know. Good job, Jonathan Dodson.
All right, so Russell Moore likes it.
Okay.
Colin Hanson likes it.
Nice.
David Wells, who maybe not a widely known name, but very widely respected in our camps, likes
it. Dude, the Yankees pitcher or the Gordon Conwell guy? Which David Wells?
Gordon Conwell guy. If it was the former overweight lefty Yankees pitcher, I would be thrilled.
Exactly.
That would give me a whole different respect for both David Wells and this book.
Absolutely.
But instead, it's a very widely respected theologian and professor. So yeah, check out the book. It's called Our Good Crisis by Jonathan Dodson. It is available now, and you can get it, you know, wherever you buy books.
There you go.
Your jam, y'all.
Piper, that's a good read. It's so good to have you back studio, and also good to have you back doing the promos. I feel like Ronald and I just kind of stumbled our way.
Pipe, mainly just for the promos. It's good to have you back.
I did see one comment on Facebook. I posted the episode you guys did most recently. And it was the first comment just said, "You guys need Piper back," and I felt really bad because
I felt bad too.
I let that one listener down. Yeah. The rest of the listeners didn't say anything of the sort, so I think they were all fine. But then I felt bad for you because that it means he wasn't crazy about the work you guys did. I will say the episode you did,
he wasn't crazy about the free thing that he gets every week.
Yeah,
well, I feel so sad.
I mean,
for
I post.
Him.
Yeah,
what a tool. Good. Like really.
No, but we got two or three emails about the episode you guys did prior to that. What was that? It was the kind of disappointment episode. And people loved it. They found it very helpful because of their struggles in ministry or creative life. So don't worry. One listener was cranky about me being out last episode. So really, to that listener, my insincerest apologies. I'm back and I'll do a promo.
One person was cranky about you being busy being like a hero to the Nashville community in the wake of a tornado. So, you know, I think that's a good excuse to be out. But, speaking of speakers and famous people, boys, I want to lean into a couple of things. Don Carson was at our school last week.
What?
The great D.A. Carson.
Dak.
Yeah. And he didn't like text me and ask to hang out.
That's insane. Was he wearing his blue jacket and khakis? I mean, was he wearing his
probably?
Standard
I go to the gig, man. It was listen to this. It
theologian?
Was like $60 to go.
What? Did you get dinner? Like, did you get a book? What did you get for that?
Well, I think it was dinner. I don't know. I didn't go. Oh. But my kid. Listen to this. My kid went.
Stop.
Because he works like in the catering arm of Union once in a while, and he worked that event.
So he was forced to go.
He was texting me from it, and he's like, "Hey, what do you know about this D.A. Carson guy?
What do you know about
like,
this guy Donnie?"
Yeah, and I'm like, we basically used to hang out.
Who's this older guy who keeps mispronouncing Isaiah?
Exactly.
Baby, did you tell him that you had that round table like thing with Dak that time?
Well, dude, I did. I told him all about the round table, and I told him all about how, like, I was Dak's handler, basically, like, way back in the early KDY years when he came to speak at KDY's church. And I drove him around town, man, and he was not a fun hang in the car. I'm just going to leave it at that. Like, he wasn't interested in like listening to music.
I don't think you're surprising anybody right now. That's, you know, I don't think you're killing anybody.
Fun, like,
okay, what kind of music did you offer to play for? This is fascinating. I want to know what musical offerings Ted put in front of Don.
Dude, whatever CDs were in my car in like 2004. So it was probably
you're playing Usher.
Like 50 Cent.
Like Weezer?
Yeah, like Get Rich or Die Trying by 50 Cent. Or what else would have been in my car in 2004? I don't know. Probably that album Metallica made with the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Nothing that Dak would really be super into, to be fair.
What do you think he would be into?
That's a great
orchestral
question.
Orchestral music.
Yeah, orchestral music.
But I feel like he would have very strong opinions. That too, he'd be like, no, I like the German school or this particular
Kraftwerk?
Era or something. Like,
yeah, right, either right, either orchestral music, Kraftwerk, or Matt Boswell. I mean, take your
Matty Boss,
take your choice.
Yeah,
one
Boss.
Of the take your choice, Dak. What one of
Dude,
these
wouldn't
will
it be funny
you.
If Dak, if he had a, like a real weird like pop sensibility or just an artist that he really rode with, like who would that be? If Dak
Post
was gonna,
Malone,
Post Malone, yeah. Yeah, Dak's like, I'm going to get that tattoo on my face, you know, in honor of Post.
Dak's like, nobody knows this about me, but I'm a massive Taylor Swift fan.
Exactly. He's like early Taylor Swift,
right,
though, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Love Story? Anybody?
Like, I used to love the Dixie Chicks, and they got all political, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you could. I can just imagine, like, walking down a hall behind him at the next, to, you know, what is it, TGC conference, and hearing him whistling like Teardrops on My Guitar, yeah, quietly to himself.
He's like, marry me, Juliet, we'll never have to be alone.
He's like, I love that new post Christian Bieber stuff. I love Yummy.
Oh, fellow Canadians. I bet there's
no,
a Bieber 100%,
connection. 100%, man.
100%. Dude, who do you think is the most famous Canadian Dax hung out with? Like, or rub shoulders with in some way.
Besides himself? No,
like, well, yeah. I mean, it's not Biebs. Yeah, besides himself and besides J.I. Packer.
Well, I was going to say, dude, I mean, when you're at his level of what he does, like, who are you hanging out with, like, on a pop level, right?
I don't know. Like, Mike Myers?
Packer, John Canadian? Candy. I thought he was from England originally.
No, he's Canadian.
Wait, who? Yeah. Packer? He's in Canada now. He's, like, out there. He's been in Vancouver for a while, I think.
I mean, and I guess Canada's sort of like the, what are they, like a province or
they're like
their Commonwealth
British.
Or something
like
of England. It's like England. It's like England's
it's like
territory.
England, South yeah. Dakota.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
England, South Dakota yeah, with like British candy bars, and they have to like the Queen or something.
Alanis Morissette, was she Canadian?
Yes.
I bet Dax,
Brian
like,
Adams
I bet he's had
Canadian.
Like a, yeah,
there's a lot
Ooh,
of
Brian
people
Adams.
That are. This is what it is for me, guys. Like, what I find out people are Canadian years later, and my comment is always, "Oh, I had no idea they were Canadian."
Well, and all the hockey players too. Do you think he's hung out with Waino, like the great one?
Dude, do you think like, he's a sports guy?
I can see Dak being a huge closet.
Dude, I totally agree with that.
It's closet
totally
because
agree.
He doesn't have any obvious interests besides theology.
I agree with
so.
That,
yeah, I could see him being like a massive Winnipeg Jets
like,
fan.
I,
or something
I feel
like
that.
Yeah, Dale Hawerchuk.
Yeah, Dale Hawerchuk. That's what I was going to say. I'm joking, but like I was
hung out back in the day.
But I see him being like, dude, it's like Thanksgiving, and I'm like, it's like your dad, where he allows himself just for like 1 minute to like watch a sports game.
He allows himself like 25 minutes of hockey viewing a year,
right? Because to celebrate like a holiday.
Okay, so little known fact about John Piper is that he actually loves sports. He just loves using his time differently. Mm-hmm. So, like, when I'm in town, my dad will figure out how to get games on. So last fall, I went up there for my sister's wedding, and it was the Vikings were playing the Packers on the Sunday immediately after. So they got married on Saturday. So that Sunday, my brother brought his TV to my parents'
That's
house.
Hilarious.
Because my parents don't have a TV.
Yeah.
And then we said we figured out how to stream it through NFL.com or Hulu or something. And like my dad was inside watching the game,
dude, okay,
for the most part, while like the kids were all running around outside.
This is a topic I want to lean into, okay? Like the principled, like mega Christian in your life who is too good for television, but who like wants everyone else in his life to go through all kinds of gymnastics so that he can watch the stuff that he wants to watch. Like, yeah, I'll just put my 55-inch plasma into the back of my car and, like, bring my Xbox and, you know.
Well, I mean, you just summarized it pretty well.
Yeah.
Like, that, yep, there you go. That's the experience.
It's so funny, though. Like, I had a guy like this in my life, and he was like, and this was more like early 2000s era, but he's like, yeah, could anybody just, like, tape the Michigan game for me and drop it in the mail? And it's like,
that's hilarious.
That's kind of a lot of work, you know. You got, it's a post office run and a VHS.
Like, it'd be easier for you just to go to Best Buy, buy a new TV, like, hook it up and watch the game.
Yeah, exactly.
And cheaper.
Exactly. No, it's good though. It's so.
Yeah,
fun.
I would say for sure that describes Dak. Like literally, it's like some weirdo holiday. Like, there's some hockey game on. He's looking at his wife, going, "Babe, do you think it's like, would it be a sin for me to watch this game right now?"
Yeah, like, whose house can we drive to? Like, who can I impose upon? Like, who has cable so that I can watch this game?
Like, what if we went to my son's house? Would that be okay? You know?
It'd be funny to be that guy for Dak. You know what I mean? Like, you're the hockey
his
game
sports
guy.
Handler?
His sports handler. Dude, yeah, he was disappointed in me and in my handler.
Oh, he was so disappointed.
I mean, he's a doctoral studies overseer. He has that power over people's lives. Like,
true.
Oh, you've poured years and years and years of yourself. Like, you've already burnt, like, you have worked your fingers to the bone trying to impress me. Yes, I'm going to come watch TV at your house.
Yeah,
and
totally
you can't say no.
Yeah, it's some, like, teaching assistant, you know, who can't say no. I think that's who Dak's calling to come hang out to watch the hockey games. So, yeah, and baby, real quick on this, a little at Jared C. Wilson update. No email. Still no email.
Dude,
still
you're
waiting.
Kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, not you guys. Ted, you went hard at Jared last episode.
I did. Yeah, I wrote him a little fan letter because I liked a thing that he had written. And
guys,
yeah.
Now I don't want him to write you back so that we can, like, talk about how he's never written you back for, like, years to come.
So did you have a direct – you guys may have covered this. I honestly didn't listen to the last episode that closely. I just dropped in enough so that I could make bullet-pointed show notes.
Sure.
So did you have a, like – a direct email address, or was this through, like, a contact me form?
Dude, no, I think it was a direct email address. And yeah, it was just like once a year I get really appreciative of people, and I'm just like, I'm gonna write some fan letters.
Still waiting for that email,
and,
baby.
And it's
just
not even
BTW,
Christmas or anything.
Still waiting for that email, that once a year from you.
Oh yeah, baby. Well, you know, it's coming. It's definitely coming.
So that I cannot write you back.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd love to have the pleasure of not writing you back like Jared.
I'm too busy hanging out with Jared to write you back. We're like,
just like you're too busy with hanging with Dak. I mean, it's all the same.
Yeah. Well,
it's all the same thing.
I mean, like me driving around with Dak all the time.
Correct.
So just listening to music, sharing our feelings.
Correct.
Dak was my aux cord.
Ted, do you reply to every piece of fan mail you get, Ted?
Honestly, if it's kind, like if it's not hate mail, I respond. And sometimes I don't respond at length, but I'm just like, yeah, thanks, man. Cause I really do appreciate, like, people's appreciation. And I'm not going at Jared. This is a bit. Like, this isn't me actually being mad. It's a
bit. But you're a little curious.
Dude, I'm just
you're
a little
slightly curious.
Curious,
we would say.
Is it possible that he's way more famous than we've given him credit for, and he gets inundated with mail? So
no.
Yours just like got it got lost.
I think he might be one of those guys, Pipe, that gets a lot of emails. I'm not kidding.
I think he gets a lot of emails because people don't like him.
Really?
You know, like he says controversial things, and then he also lives in the SBC world where people get very angry about things.
That's true.
So it's possible he gets a ton of hate mail, and so he has like a strong filter in place, and maybe yours got caught in the
filter.
Could
be. That
What's weird though too is like I get like I've shifted, so like, I get more texts than I get emails now because I kind of got you know what I mean. So like I get more people contacting me either on like Facebook, Twitter, or text, and I get like actual emails from people, which is weird.
Dude, that's a funny thing, and I forget what context it was in that it came up. Maybe it was you and me last week, but I feel like. Yeah, people are even too lazy to write hate mail anymore. It's just like they kill you on Twitter in 140 characters. Yep. And it's like, yeah, I'm getting nostalgic for hate mail now. You know, like
beautiful days
back when people
mail.
Were back when people were committed enough to write a 2-paragraph
the nostalgia
email.
Nostalgia
of
hate mail.
Exactly. Oh, classic. Boys, we got time probably for one more topic. And
if it makes you guys feel better, we do get hate mail for the podcast. Like, we're still drumming up interest in that.
Oh,
way.
I love it.
We probably once every week and a half to 2 weeks, we get a I was recommended to your podcast by Spotify, and you guys are so snarky, I can't even take it anymore, and I'm not listening anymore. I mean, they take 900 words to say, I'm not going to listen.
Well, dude, yeah.
So we get those. Would you like me to forward that on to you for your nostalgic blessing?
No, forward it to me, Pi, because I love stuff like that.
Okay, I'll pass those along just for your encouragement.
Because I find it...
I'll pass it along to me. Just
to you, Ron, not to you.
Boys, I find it incredible that people don't get, like, the funny... irony, we don't take ourselves seriously, it's all a joke aspect of this program. That, like, astounds me. That absolutely astounds me.
Well, dude, there are a lot of Christians, though, in their defense, I guess, who were just raised in a completely...
Absolutely.
You talk about, like, quarantine. You talk about, like, coronavirus quarantine. They were in, a humor quarantine. You know what I mean? Where they were just in, like, a hazmat suit that, like, protected them from any kind of humor. And
because I mean,
I think those are the people that are,
because to be like truly, because I always tell people, like, dude, this is not a cynical program, because we're not really serious about any of this stuff. We're actually, like, optimistic and we're hopeful. We're just being funny. So you can't really be snarky and cynical if you're actually not taking what you're talking about seriously. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's fun. And I like being able to say this even right now, because we're still probably going to get an email like after this pod.
Totally.
Yeah. Which,
and you never know what's going to hit a nerve either. Like, I tweeted something out on Sunday, and it was a coronavirus joke, which is always in good taste, yeah, exactly. I think. I just said, if you're going to skip church because of coronavirus, you should probably skip church too.
That was funny.
And Ronnie replied with a very humorous response.
Ronnie's like, I'm never skipping brunch. Our church is brunch.
Ronnie's response was, people got to eat, Pipe, which was very funny. But, you know, most of the responses were funny. One or two people came back and were furious.
Oh, I didn't see those, Pipe. Okay.
Like, just, they were.
One person had had their church canceled because of this, and so they were not able to meet. And so this person was very upset because she felt targeted by this tweet, I think, and was like, some of us are grieving about having to miss church and don't give a bleep about brunch. And I was like, you didn't skip.
Yeah.
You didn't skip church.
Right.
They skipped you.
Exactly.
Like, they're canceled,
fine.
Not you.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the people who are like in their fuzzy pajamas at home debating whether they should have pancakes or waffles instead of going to church. Like, those people.
Dude, that's really funny, man. I love it, man. I love it.
So, yes, you can make people mad any which way. It's impossible not to make people mad.
You know who makes people mad? Doug.
Dougie.
Doug Wilson.
Dougie Fresh.
Dougie Fresh.
Dougie Fresh.
Dougie made some people mad this week. And,
oh, was he talking again?
What? Also, like, I don't know if we've ever gone a minute and a half on this, but I love that his name is Doug. Is anyone else named Doug anymore?
No.
Like, there aren't any 9-year-old kids walking around.
No, there hasn't
been
a kid named Doug,
Doug
in 7 years.
I know one guy at church named Doug, and he's about our age.
Yeah.
He's about my age, and is really nice.
Dude, how
guy.
Did he get just named Doug being
low,
your age?
Low key.
That's impossible.
He was right on the tail
of
Doug's, I bet, though. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Oh, certainly. Or like, yeah, he was named after like
that's
a beloved
was,
uncle or
right
something.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah. And he's an awesome dude. So like, I was going to ask, is Doug like the equivalent of Karen? You know how Karen is sort of the memed name, like Karen wants to see the manager
real.
Kind of
yeah.
thing. Is Doug that? But I don't think it is. I think it's just a name from
a bygone
generation.
80s kid name. Yeah.
It's like
Janet. For sure.
It's like Shelley.
Oh, Shelly. Dude, I like
it's
that.
It's like Connie.
Oh, my sister-in-law's name is Shelly. And she's
that's
a child
what I'm
of
saying.
The 70s.
It's all those names
70s,
that
so, yeah.
I don't even think are going to come
Chad.
Back someday. Right. They're not even going to come back someday. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dude, I hope Doug makes it. I hope it makes a comeback.
Well, who looks down at a little baby and goes, oh, he's adorable, honey. Let's name him Doug.
Well, dude, I felt that way about Jack 20 years ago, and now like every other college dude is named
Jack. Oh, Jack's huge, man. Yeah, because
Jack is so
Jack
huge.
And Henry and all these like all these steampunk names.
Yes, very steampunk. Like, yeah, born 20
born
years
in,
ago.
Born in 1885.
Oh, this is what we're getting hate mail about, guys. We just like took a leak on everybody's children who listen to this thing. They're like, Madison is offended.
No, I like Jack, why? Though. I like it as a name. I think it's a perfectly cool
Pipe, that's
name,
funny. Madison is offended.
Madison. Dude, there's so many
Maddie. Madisons. Oh, Maddie's right. Huge.
Yeah.
We have like huge. 19 Maddies at our church right now. You know what I mean?
Oh, of course you do, baby. Of course you do. Now, like, what did Doug say that got everybody riled up?
Did you research that a little bit, man, with that? Were you able to get into that? Because I don't have it.
No, here's the thing. If I start searching Doug Wilson things, it just is a black hole of controversy and things that make me mad. There was a short video. I did see this briefly earlier this week. I was in the midst of other things and didn't pay super close attention. But he essentially was pushing back against the notion of servant leadership in the home. And I think he said something to the effect of it's not very manly.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely phenomenal. It's not manly. Dude, the Happy Rant Gender Podcast. That's basically what this
dude,
is.
Dude, it's phenomenal. What a has phenomenal been over the last 6 months. Thing to say. I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
It's bonkers. Yeah. It's a bonkers thing to say. Like in our age, like,
is he just looking for takes?
100, man. 100.
Like, hey, I'm going to go in on servant leadership this week, everybody.
Yeah.
So I have a theory on this.
Yeah.
And that is, if you live in a place like Moscow, Idaho, mm-hmm. what else do you have to do besides look for takes?
Yeah.
Dude, we got to do a live show in Moscow, Idaho.
No, we don't. No, 100% we do not. I do not need to go to Moscow, Idaho.
I want to see it, Ron. That down immediately.
Can I go back to a hotel boardroom in Tupelo, Mississippi?
Yeah.
Let's do a live show there. That would be better. The people there were so nice.
Dude, yeah.
And they would be a great audience. I do not want to go to Moscow.
Yeah.
That's so
I don't know. It'd just be interesting.
I feel like I do feel like if I went with you guys, it would be much more fun.
Can you imagine us doing a live show in Moscow, just with the whole theme of it being Douglas Wilson? I mean, what would
dude? It'd be like Rocky IV, you know?
I mean, can we do Moscow, Russia? That'd be way better.
We could.
I bet we have a listener base in Moscow.
I mean, as soon as the Gospel Coalition does a conference in Moscow, Russia,
exactly, we'll piggyback.
We'll be there. We'll be able to do it. You know,
do TGC Russia. 2021.
Soviet conference.
I love it.
2021.
That's right. Amazing.
Yeah. So Doug Wilson thinks basically that servant leadership is like nowhere to be found in the Bible or something like that or whatever.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what's the what would be the flip side of servant leadership?
I think he was just saying like
dictatorship.
Well, I think he's like.
Misogyny.
Totally. Because, you know, masculinity, I mean, that we, you know, that's the thing that's been taking a hit for all these years. You know, not enough masculinity. That's our problem, boys.
You know, it's hard being a man these days. Everybody's out
right.
to get us.
Absolutely.
We can't do anything right. We're at fault for everything. Man, the solution is servant leadership.
I'm ready to ditch it. Immediately.
Yeah. Dude, you've given me a lot to chew on here.
Yeah, I'm ready to ditch it.
Life would be way easier if I didn't have to try to serve
anybody. Well, that's 100% correct. That's the truest thing I've heard spoken all week, Pipe.
Dude, now practically, I'm just trying to think through if we as men decide to ditch servant leadership, like the three of us, what would that look like in our homes, Pipe? Like,
I've already ditched it.
You're on your own for dinner. Just make whatever, you know, and I'm not doing laundry, so the kids would be doing their own laundry. It'd be like overflowing. And,
well, Pipe, you're not doing that anyway. You're a man. You're about being masculine. What are you talking about?
I don't even know how to get to the kitchen.
Like, what are you even talking about right now? Yeah.
I don't even know where the wash machine is.
Correct.
Yeah. Actually, I'm a beast at laundry. Yeah, I think it's. I do the heck out of some laundry. I don't know. I just like doing it.
Wow.
I think there's even just verbiage changes. You just stop saying please.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, instead of, you know, would you please clean your room to your kids? It's like, go clean your room. Yeah. Now, of course, every dad gets there at some point once the kid hasn't done it, but you drop please, no requests.
Just demand.
Everything is just an order.
Yeah.
You must do this now.
Yeah.
Bring me whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, language sort of changes reality as we use it. So I think if we commit to making that shift,
yeah,
we can really do away with servant leadership in a matter of weeks.
Well, let's do it.
Just stop requesting.
Yeah. Wow. Dougie, he's given us a lot to choose.
Masculinity. It's all about getting what Doug Wilson wants. That's what I have to say.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, I'm going to get so in trouble with my network because last year I did a Masters of Ceremony thing and I made a super crazy Doug Wilson joke. And, you know, believe it or not, even at Sojourn Network, I offended some people with that one.
You took some heat at
I did, for real. I did. It was really funny.
What was this super crazy Doug Wilson joke? I feel like anything you've said about him can't top what he has said from
his own
face.
Making a joke like we can let our I can't get all into it, but like I basically said we can let our guard down a little bit because Douglas Wilson is no longer on the Sojourn board. You know, and it was more deep than that, but like
wait, he used to be on
the Sojourn board? Wasn't. That was the joke. So it was like,
oh, okay.
So it's like, we don't have to be as uptight anymore about some of these things because Dougie's not on the board anymore, you know? And like a bunch of people laughed. Mm-hmm. And then I was told about, again, not the people that laughed, but the people in the front row that didn't laugh about it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait a minute. I thought we're like a network that's not super pro Dougie. You know, like you would just think like that's a given. And that's why.
You misread the room.
That Well, for those three people that were offended, I did, baby. Yes.
Yeah,
so
it's tough.
It was rough. It was rough. So me and Doug are a little on the outs, as well as being on the outs with Dougie Wilson fans. You know,
that's where you just look up, wipe the sweat off your brow, look at the undercarriage of that Cessna, and just keep going forward. You know, like think about the axes you're going to throw later. Think about the like $94 steak dinners you're going
to
be enjoying.
Big key. You know what though? It's okay because when I get booked to speak at Desiring God Conference in a couple years with Doug Wilson. Like, we're going to make amends. Yeah. It's going to be fine.
You're going to be best friends. You're going to be hanging out with Doug more than you're hanging out with Jared.
100%.
Jared's going to feel jealous.
Okay, so here's the thing. I will 100% guarantee you Dougie Wilson is a better hang than Don Carson.
No, I agree. Yeah, I agree.
Like, if you got to be his minder for the day, mm-hmm. you would have stories to tell of, like, great conversations and shared, you know, beverages.
At least we could argue the whole time and, like, you know, get sarcastic and laugh, you know.
What?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. He's a really nice guy in person. He really is. Like, and he's brilliant, and he's one of the best writers out there.
Shaky ground right now.
He just says some crazy stuff. Which is a real problem.
Crazy.
Well, right. Yeah, but, you know, I'm just saying, like, it's a weird thing.
You're a sympathetic Doug Wilson guy, man.
Trying to start controversy for Pipe. You're trying
stop
to get
stirring things up.
Yeah.
Don't get me in trouble. I mean, I'm already in trouble.
Dude, you're in trouble because you just called Doug Wilson brilliant. Dude, that's you, man. That's you.
Yes. Well, he is. You can be brilliant wrong.
True.
That's true.
You can also be brilliant and no fun.
Two things
you
that
can be brilliant
never been
and wrong and
me.
Fun. Like there's a mix of things that are going on here.
Yeah,
so.
No, that's true. That's true.
Or you can be like us, which is, I don't know if we're brilliant. We're often wrong, and I hope we're fun.
There you go.
You know what's always a good hang? And you know what I could have used in my car in 2004 when I was driving Don Carson around town? The Dwell Bible
app.
You think
he would have
been okay with that? Listened to Dwell.
You think he would have been okay with
that? Yeah.
Why? Because his voice is on it?
I bet he has strong feelings about the medium in which scripture should be expressed. And if you turned on any of the musical backgrounds, he would be like,
what if,
turn this off.
What if
this is an abomination.
What if I toggled it to the Canadian voice on Dwell? And the voice would be like, hey, there's therefore now no condemnation, eh?
I love the stereotype.
what if I toggled to that voice? Would he have liked it then?
That would be fun. Is there a Canadian voice on there?
I don't know.
There literally can't be a Canadian voice on Dwell.
I want there to be one.
Why not?
I would listen to it in that voice. Piper, tell us about Dwell.
I was waiting for the cue. So, yes, listeners, go to dwellapp.io/happyrant to check it out. It's an audio Bible app, multiple narrators. They got all sorts of different features so that you can listen in the way that works for you, whether it's a listen all the way through plan or different books of the Bible or like listen and reflect kinds of things, all sorts of different stuff you can do. It's a great way to get scripture into your life when, you know, you spend a lot of time in the car or you are at the gym or whatever you're doing that is not convenient for reading. And they have a discount for our listeners. It's a 33% discount off of their monthly or annual subscription. So I think it's less than $20 a year with the discount, and it's less than $2 a month. So again, dwellapp.io/happyrant. They have the discount there. Check it out, and you'll love it. I use it pretty regularly. It's a great just sort of supplemental way to be in the Word for me. A lot of people use it as their main go-to scripture, and it works really well both ways.
There we go, boys. That was a good 50 minutes of radio. Yeah. It feels good to have Pipe back for a lot of reasons, not just the promos. And not just the Doug,
but especially the promos.
Not just the Douglas Wilson controversy that he brought to the table.
Big.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out where the hate mail is going to come from this week. Is it that people are defending Doug? Is it that we've insulted women? Is it that we are cynical?
Wait.
I said Doug is brilliant.
Did we insult women at some point? Did I miss this?
If people don't recognize humor,
we're not servant
leaders.
Just by being men who are talking, we've insulted women.
We said we're doing away with servant leadership, and you made laundry jokes. So there's a good chance someone is triggered right now.
Well, dude,
they may have already sent the hate mail.
Yeah, my only laundry thing was that I do some good laundry work in my home. So, you know, I think I'm above.
I heard
right
you
here,
say that.
I hope.
Big T, that's what I heard.
Thank you, baby. Yeah. Well. We will just sit back and wait for the hate mail to pour in, as we always do in this program.
And I will share it with Ron.
Yeah, I will wait.
No, I appreciate it.
I will wait for Piper to wait and send.
Oh, that's good. That's good. You boys enjoy that hate mail. I'm going to just clear out my emails and wait for that response from Matcher and C. Wilson. I'm gonna clear the schedule. I'm not going to go to work this week. Not because of the coronavirus, but just because I'm
And baby, I'm
waiting
still waiting to get an email from you that I won't respond.
Oh yeah. You want to have the option.
Well, just as soon as you appreciate something from me, and I actually get that email, I'm waiting for that.
I gotta dive back into your Yoda work. How's the Yoda life been lately?
It's been a little light.
Good.
It's been a little light, man. Yeah, a little light. So
give us an example of some good Yoda work from the last week. You got one there at your fingertips?
Yeah, my latest was right here, boys. Preaching is not as hard as it is heavy.
Now, what does that actually mean?
I have no idea
what that means. Yeah. Okay. Good. Very keep it opaque.
Oh, that's the best kind.
Yeah.
That's a perfect Yoda tweet because it sounds like it means so much, but maybe it doesn't.
And it's nice and short too. Like it would fit in a fortune cookie.
Correct.
You know what I mean? There's the product you need to drop: gluten-free pastoral fortune cookies,
Yoda cookies
with all your Yoda stuff inside.
Hey, I think you're onto something, Big T. I think that's big.
Yeah.
The potential for that is
huge.
Big.
Well, let's get Monsanto on the line, okay? Let's get a food, like, corporate giant on the line, and let's get that made. Let's get those in to the marketplace.
Yeah, right? I don't disagree with that at all. That's good. That's fantabulous, man. That's a really good idea.
Well, I'm glad we're on the same
absolutely.
Page, and I feel like we can always be counted on to start non-lucrative businesses on this podcast.
Correct.
And it's what we do, in addition to wandering to and fro. So until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Finding uplifting news in today's headlines is often like searching for a needle in a haystack. At the Story Behind Podcast, we believe in the power of finding heartwarming tales and are happy to share empowering stories with you every week. Get inspired by the note a waitress received from a patron dining alone. And even hear about how one VIP passenger made a hardworking pilot get emotional before his flight. To start listening to the Story Behind Podcast, visit lifeaudio.com